I never saw my mom or my dad drink, even though my dad got a song called Gin and Juice.
But he didn't need to drink because he was getting high.
Exactly. And the shit that he smoked, that's all you need.
My name is Paige Parker, as Althea said. I have a podcast. It's called Pass the Power with Paige Parker. And I have conversations of hope. It sounds hokey, but I think we need them. And I do it with thought leaders, like Cordell, people who say yes to life. And there's nobody who says yes anymore than Cordell Brodus, AKA Champ Medici. He's a self-proclaimed creative junkie. He happens to be the son of Snoop Dogg. I guess we all know that. And he went from, I love this, college football recruit to Dolce & Gabbana model to living and working between Web 2 and Web 3. And I think you and your daddy are working on many projects together. We're going to hear about some of those today. Later on, Russell Simmons is going to be here. They're going to talk about 50 years of hip hop. Welcome, Cordell. It's obvious you love Singapore. You're back again. Tell us what brought you back.
I mean, it's obvious. This is a beautiful region. It's a beautiful country. It's a lot of intelligent people here. It's a lot of exciting energy going on. And they love Web3 down here. And that's what I like to see. Because back in the States, it's been a little, you know, stigma around it. And I'm just trying to keep it alive and, you know, stay 10 toes down and keep my feet on the ground and keep meeting beautiful founders and creative entrepreneurs.
Okay, so I want to tell you a funny story. Last year when I met Cordell, it was at a Web3 party for ARC, the community. And I stayed kind of late because I heard he was coming and I wanted to meet him. And so he turns up and I'm like, dude, I've been waiting all night to meet you. I mean, it's late. I'm ready to go home. And he says to me, I'm ready to go home. I don't party. I don't drink. I work. It's true, yeah?
That's a fact. That is a fact.
And he's just come from Abu Dhabi, where he was working 24/7, and you've hit the ground here. So tell us, what drives you?
Just knowing, like, I was once, you know, forced to play sports. Not forced, but, like, mentally I was forced by myself because I was afraid to step out. I was afraid to try new ventures. I was afraid to truly be myself. So now that I'm extremely comfortable with who I am, I just really go full speed and at a pace that I can control and at a pace that feels comfortable to me. And these are moments that I dreamt of when I was, you know, depressed and was lost. These were moments that I dreamt of having events and going to countries and meeting different cultures and investing in companies and understanding new regions. These are like far beyond my dreams. So now that I'm actually here, I just try to stay in the moment and just really be appreciative of everything that's happening, because without God, none of this would, you know, really be happening. So I'm just extremely just blessed in awe of all of this. Like, this is extremely crazy to know. Like, I was playing sports at one time in my life and I felt like that was the only way I could find success. And now I see, like, so many people believe in me. So many people are partnering with me. It's like, every day is surreal. Even though I walk around like I'm extremely confident and I knew this was gonna happen, it's like, I didn't really know. I just jumped out on a leap of faith and I landed.
Well, it's funny because I kind of thought he'd be a diva. You know, he's the son of a music mogul and he's you're not. You don't even drink, you don't party. I mean, like, going through the F1 weekend, is that tough for you? Because your crew is going out late, right?
Nah, I like to watch people. I like to watch people have fun. So it's like, I'm a boring, weird person and I'm cool with that and I'm comfortable with that. And alcohol never tastes great to me. I know it don't taste great to y'all, but y'all like the, you know, effect that it brings, but it just never was my cup of tea. So I never saw my mom or my dad drink, even though my dad got a song called Gin and Juice. That never drank no gin and juice. It just sound good, so.
But he didn't need to drink because he was getting high.
Exactly. And the shit that he smoked, that's all you need.
Okay, guys, so everybody in this room knows that the last year has been really bad for Web3, crypto, NFTs, and my investor hubby always says that even in the bear market, there's money to be made. And I just wonder, when you look in your crystal ball, can you be bullish, and do you see Web3 turning around anytime soon?
Of course, of course. I was just in Paris about 6 months ago with the Sandbox, you know, at their headquarters, and just seeing how excited they are about everything and seeing how focused Sebastian is. And this is when I look at the founders, and this is when I lean on them, because at times I get down and sometimes I stop believing. And this is when you have to lean on your partners, which is why we strategically called it World Champ Partners Day, because this is where we need to lean on each other and believe in each other. It's not about who has the biggest project, who made the most money. It's about how can we all come as a collective and really, you know, push each other to the finish line, because we're nowhere near close to where we're trying to be. And that's where I look at the founders and really use them as case studies, as if Sebastian is still coming to work early, if Lynn and Izzy are still clocking in every day, then I should too. I shouldn't give up because my partners aren't giving up. And I'm, you know, an athlete first, so I grew up with that sportsman mentality, and just having a team and that camaraderie, it lifts you up when you're down. You got to take your losses like you take your wins.
I did a podcast recently with Althea Lim. Everybody knows Althea, and she talked about how founders sometimes get too much credit. It's actually the full team. It's all the people coming together that make it all happen. So it sounds like what you're saying. And many of the founders you just mentioned are going to talk later today, correct?
Correct, correct. And they have extremely great teams, you know. But they are the leaders. They are the head of it. So definitely got to give credit where credit is due. And for this event, you know, this wouldn't be happening without Gush Cloud and a great team that's behind me. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Gush Cloud and all the hard workers that put this event together and made this possible for everybody to come out tonight.
Okay, I'm sure everybody wants to hear all the projects that he's working on. And I'd love to start with Dr. Bombay. This is your daddy's Bored Ape NFT that you've turned into a real life sidekick. And you've got ice cream, you've got clothes, you've got Skechers. So tell us what's going on with Dr. Bombay.
Well, Dr. Bombay was actually like my first digital child. That's what I call it, my first digital baby. And Dr. Bombay was created in October of 2021. And I had a vision of pairing him with Snoop Dogg, because if you look at Dr. Bombay, he has that cigar in his mouth and he has on that Vietnam hat. My grandfather was in the Vietnam War back in the day. So there was a lot of similarities that I seen in that NFT in particular. So me doing all the things that I'm doing with Dr. Bombay was, like I said, these are dreams that I had when I was playing sports. I've always wanted to do an ice cream brand. I always wanted to do a shoe brand and clothing deal. And having existing relationships within the Web 2 space, I was able to pair things. Like, for example, Dr. Bombay has his own ice cream in all 4,700 Walmarts around the world. And it's been selling extremely well. You know, we're doing about 4 pints in each store worldwide. And the first month we did about $2 million. And we just did a collaboration with Dr. Bombay and Skechers. Skechers is the number 3 most sold shoe in the world. So for them to understand the ideology of Web3 and be accepted to, you know, putting a Bored Ape on their shoes and putting a digital asset on their shoes was not easy to convince them. And then lastly, we have a merchandise deal that we're doing with Walmart and Zoomies and Zara, where Dr. Bombay is on all shirts and hoodies and even kids' clothes. So this is just something that I've always wanted to do. So I'm just using this as the vehicle to take me to these rooms, and doing it with my father is amazing, because he pushed me to play sports and he didn't know I had this business mind. So for me to be able to prove myself and show him, like, I do have plans on retiring, Pops. I don't want you working and traveling as much as you are. I want to see you at home with my grandkids, going to soccer games with Anton in San Diego, or going to the U.S. Open in New York. You know, that's what it's about. You know, it's not all about just working hard. Like, at one point, I want to stop too, and I'm laying out the foundation so my kids can come in position and do exactly what I'm doing for my father, for me.
Your daddy has enough money to retire. We all know that. Do you remember how much the NFT cost?
Yeah, the NFT was actually gifted by Ivan Wright, the founder of MoonPay.
The MoonPay passport will be the link. And so We'll be proving it today. Some folks will be able to get it, active MoonPay customers, verified customers of MoonPay. I'm going to be launching some really exciting partnerships, you know, and you can think about all the incredible partnerships we've done this last year. We're going to really expand this program. We want to build the best Web3 loyalty program in the market.
We had a meeting in New York in October. It was Ivan, Guy Osiri, Nick Adler, and myself. And they showed me like 10 different apes, and I picked that one because it was the most, you know, parallel to my father and myself, and it just made the most sense. So it was actually a gift. We didn't even have to purchase it.
I know you're also into wellness. I don't know if you look at his story, but he's always exercising and taking care of himself, and he's just invested in Hanjan. And can you tell us about that? Is that your first investment into wellness? What are your plans?
Yes, that's my first investment into health and wellness. It actually stemmed from last year when I left F1 Singapore. I went to Bali, Jidas Hotel with Russell Simmons. And while I was there, we only could eat vegan food on his property. He calls anything that's not vegan poison. So we were eating vegan food. And I just remember like that experience was so like different for me to just really be, you know, stuck in one spot and not be able to go to In-N-Out or Burger King and all these fast food chain restaurants that are not, you know, the healthiest for us. And it just made me want to dive deeper into the health and wellness space and ultimately, you know, continue what Russell's message is how can we teach health and wellness amongst the black and brown communities? Because our voice goes miles away. You know, we extremely influential, not in just hip hop, but I think in a lot of things, fashion, sports. How can we be that same influential in the health and wellness space? Because if you look at a lot of black and brown people always end up with diabetes and all these health issues. It's because of the foods that we're putting in our bodies. So I just want to be representative of how to take care of yourself, not just financially and business-wise, but also just living-wise, because health is wealth.
Exactly. And for those of you who do drink, because I drink, he doesn't. I can tell you, I've used this before. And it's not a miracle cure, but it definitely works. So there's a booth at the back. Make sure you get a baggie to take home, because I'm sure that's going to be a big weekend for a lot of people. Okay, let's talk about music tech, because your team was telling me that you're really getting into music tech. What does that mean?
We're focusing on music tech because I was born in a recording studios, and music was the first thing that I seen. I remember being a baby crawling around seeing giant speakers and my dad doing house parties, and there's hundreds of people there, and it's just music was just all day. Like, that's all I heard. So I always wanted to do something with music. I never felt like I was an artist. Yeah, I could write a song, I could rap, I could sing, I could do all that, but I just never felt like that was really me, you know? And I sat down with Shiv Jane, you know, one of my best friends from my hometown, Diamond Bar, and we just came up with the idea from Spotty Wi-Fi. Spotty Wi-Fi is a musician in the Web3 space who was making songs and selling them on the blockchain. So I called him, and he flew down about 2 years ago to LA, and he sat me down for about 2 weeks, and he showed me everything he did and how he did it. And it just inspired us to do it ourselves. And from there, we created a platform called ShareSticks. And with music, when you make music, it's all a bunch of stems. The kick, the instrument, the vocals, those are all called stems. So all those stems create a song. So essentially, your favorite artist makes about 100 songs a year, but only release about 10 to 15. What are we doing with those other 85? Those other 85 songs are sitting on hard drives that are just collecting dust, or eventually will be leaked by engineers who get, you know, paid by some outlet or some source. And sometimes it's extremely messed up to work so hard on a product and then it get released without your blessings, and it just doesn't feel right, you know? So instead of us sitting on those assets, we came with an idea to release those assets as a marketplace so that content creators can use those sounds and put them in their YouTube videos, TikTok videos. And if you're just an upcoming artist, if you want to collaborate with an artist like Eminem or Snoop Dogg or Wiz Khalifa, their feature price is six figures starting. So we're democratizing what collaboration looks like in the music industry by pricing those stems that you get to license out and, you know, own for that moment at a reasonable price that's affordable for an up-and-coming artist or up-and-coming content creator. And if you know YouTubers, when they make videos, you can't release a video unless you own the rights to that sound. And Mr. Beast, actually, he put up a video about 2-3 weeks ago where he didn't own a 3-second animation clip. And just because he didn't own 3 seconds of that animation clip, YouTube demonetized that video and took it down. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to disrupt the whole sampling and copyrights element to music and focusing on a marketplace where all content creators and music creators can come and buy sounds from their favorite artists at a reasonable price.
What's a reasonable price?
Anywhere from $9.99 to $999 or $19.99 or 99 cents. We haven't really found what that price point is exactly yet. We're still doing a lot of trial and error, but I really want to base it off the iTunes model, which was the first singles that they released were 99 cents. I don't care if you were a Madonna or an up-and-coming artist, everybody's single was priced the same, and I'm leaning towards doing that same model for ShareSticks so that it's affordable for all content creators.
ShareSticks, y'all, ShareSticks. Another thing is NFTs gained so much notoriety. Everybody was buying NFTs, and then the winter market came and nobody was interested in NFTs anymore. Gary Vee says 96% of NFTs are going to zero, which is probably true, but I think all of us agree that they are here to stay. We're gonna have digital assets with on Premier Wine, with our diamonds, with our home ownership, with our car ownership. I mean, NFTs on the blockchain are here to stay. So how do you think this digital ownership is going to reshape entertainment and music?
I think doing events like this, like in the middle of this event, there's an NFT, but it's obviously not an NFT right now. It's a physical inflatable ape. And people just gotta get creative. We can't wait on the creatives to keep creating. We gotta take it upon ourselves at some point to become disruptive. You know, I wanted Bored Ape to do something in Singapore. We actually pitched to Yuga Labs for a while to do something out here, and they decided to do something in Hong Kong. So instead of waiting on them, I did it myself. And that's the mindset you gotta have. You gotta be independent. You know what I'm saying? Like, us as a society, we may not be ready for certain things. And I got that from this documentary called General Magic. In the late 80s, Tony Fadell and a group of guys in Silicon Valley were actually working on a phone that was extremely similar to the iPhone. But in the 90s, they weren't ready for that. So it took about another 12 years for them to recreate that model, but condense it into the iPod. You know, 6 years later, they ended up creating the iPhone. So I just feel like we just gotta be patient. Technology is always inclining. And us as a society, we just gotta learn how to, you know, have patience and, you know, get creative until things are accepted.
There was one thing I wanted to ask you about. I know you're super keen on real estate around the world. You wanna plant a flag in how many countries?
21. Nah, I just, whatever country that I feel speaks to my soul, I'm real intuitive. Like, I go with my gut. I'm not the smartest. I didn't finish college. I wasn't a straight A student in high school. I was never the smartest, ever. You know, I just literally go with how I feel. Like, what does my stomach tell me? And I really meditate a lot. So while I'm doing my fitness journey, that's usually me talking to myself. Like, it's not so that I could look good for anyone in this room. It's so that I could feel good and, you know, meditate with myself and bounce ideas off of myself. That's where I get that quiet time when I'm in the gym. So real estate has always been something that I held close to my heart because my grandfather, my great-grandfather actually, he was a real estate owner in the early 40s, in 1940s in Mississippi. And back in that time, black people couldn't own anything. So for him to own a lot of acres and a successful landscape business was so motivating and inspiring to me. I said, you know, whenever I get in position, I'm gonna do the same, if not even bigger.
I wonder, how do you educate yourself about the Web3 space? What do you read? Who do you follow?
Surround yourself with people that's smarter than you. And that's why I have all my smart partners here today, because they way smarter than me. Sebastian, Lynn, Roy, Gorilla Gazing, everybody around me is smarter than me, and that's what I want. I don't want to be the smartest, but I know I'm an asset, and what I bring is going to complement their smarts and their creativeness, and that's what it's about. It ain't always about making yourself the center of attention. I like playing the two. I like playing the three. It's like basketball. Everybody wants to be the point guard. Sometimes you got to be the big man and get the rebound, and at times I am the point guard, but at most times I'm the center, and that's what I like, or I'm the towel boy, I'm the water boy. Like, it's not always about Champ.
Speaking of better, I know that you have the Champ Medici Arts Fund, and do you want to tell us about how you're making their lives better?
Well, I can't take all the credit. Like I said, you know, I partnered with Tezos. Tezos came to me last year when I was in Singapore, actually around this time, and they came up with the idea with Shiv Jain about doing a fund that could go back to minority cities around the world. And as soon as I heard the idea, I was all in. You know, it wasn't about them paying me a big fee. It was about us giving back to the communities and uplifting people and giving them a platform where they can thrive and understand blockchain technologies, because Black people and my culture, we're always late to the party. Like, we're always late. We're late to a lot of things because we're not taking it upon ourselves to dive deep and learn things on our own. So, you know, I'm a representation of, you know, a lot of different minorities. So I just wanted to be representative and give back in a huge way. And it's been extremely successful. You know, we've had 10 artists so far on the Champ Medici Arts Fund, and they've getting grants from size $25,000 to $50,000. Lori is actually one of the artists who's a part of the Champ Medici Arts Fund, and she makes amazing music, and we're able to, you know, uplift artists like herself and give them a platform where they can understand blockchain technology and bring their fans to the Tezos blockchain, which ultimately benefits everybody, because now, instead of her just releasing music on regular DSPs, she can release music on the blockchain and create a new stream of revenue and just, you know, get to meet new different IPs and collaborate with, you know, different artists that she may not have, you know, knew she could collaborate with.
That's fabulous. I think that's one of the most interesting things that you're doing, to be really, really honest. I don't know if you saw, but Elon Musk was just in Washington, and he scared the absolute crap out of the U.S. Senate on over AI, and they're all so worried. They now want to regulate AI like they want to regulate crypto. And I just wonder, in the entertainment world, when you think about songs, do you worry about AI-generated songs and performers being better than in real life songs and performers?
I mean, I don't know if I'm getting old, but I don't see myself listening to AI music, and I don't know if that's me being biased, because I've seen artists make music and write music and come up with the idea, and everything was, you know, a real life moment, a real life experience. But maybe my kids may grow up and only want to listen to AI Michael Jackson songs or AI Prince songs, or, you know, they didn't get to, you know, witness that and see that on TV. I was lucky enough to see Michael Jackson perform on TV. I was lucky enough to meet Prince at once, and you know, it may be different for the new generations to come, so I don't want to be the one to knock it. I just, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I am open to learning it eventually. But right now I need to see a little bit more from AI musically speaking, just because, you know, I may be a bit biased because I was around, you know, real artists who, you know, really created real art.
Do you use ChatGPT?
Yeah, whenever I need help with pitch decks and response to emails and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm not the smartest, so sometimes I do use AI to help me with emails and writing stuff to sound a bit more, you know, professional, because I use a lot of slang, and sometimes I want to change it up a bit, and that's where I do depend on AI. But as far as entertaining me, I haven't really looked into AI to entertain me just yet.
And before, you were saying that Black people are often kind of late to the party, and this is still such a nascent, I mean, there are very few people that are in this space. You're definitely not late, and you're definitely a leader in it, so you should be proud of that.
Well, I was late today. I know I had y'all waiting for
a little
bit.
You were late today.
Y'all got to excuse my tardiness.
So I know you have a beautiful family at home, and you've got three little girls, and I'm wondering, when are you going to bring them to Singapore?
Well, my daughter just started school Monday. She's in a French-American school, so she's learning new languages and new cultures. And I do plan to bring her here one day. I want to teach her Mandarin. I want to teach her Arabic. And, you know, like I said, I'm not the smartest, but I'm going to make sure my kids are the smartest. You know, I didn't pay attention in school, so I'm going to make sure my kids do that. And I think right now she's learning and she's growing and she's really understanding who she is as a young lady. And I don't want to rush her into it. She did say she want to come, but I know this is a long flight for her. She don't got as much patience as I do, so we got to wait till she mature a bit so she can sit on that long flight.
All you got to do is just let them watch any movie they want, and the long flight is no problem, and let them have all the orange juice they want. So as we wrap this up and we move on to the next segment, I wonder if you have any words to pass the power. My podcast is all about sharing, and I wonder if there's anything else that you want to share with the people here today.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all here, so it's something that brought us here. Don't be shy. Don't feel like you're too cool to speak to people. Everybody should be shaking hands, giving each other hugs, learning about each other. That's what we're here for. We all trying to further each other in life, and the only way we can do that is through communicating. So I just want everybody to take it upon themselves to go up to someone if you notice someone from Twitter or notice someone from social media or know someone from a certain work field that you want to get yourself into. Go up and communicate. We're here to network. I want to see people leave here with deals. If you're a startup company and you see an investor in here, go talk to them. Tell them about your company. If they don't want to hear it, set up a dinner in the next 2 days. You know, but be aggressive in a sense where you're putting your business first. And don't walk around with ideas in your head, because people can't read your mind. So you just got to be extremely optimistic and let things flow. Figure it out and just be a champ. You gotta be a champion. That's the champion mindset.
I didn't ask this earlier and I should have, because there's so much talk now about the tokenized impact economy. And I wonder, do you see Web3 as a way for us to do good for society, the environment? Is that something that you're thinking about?
I mean, the reason why I partner with Gorilla Gazing is because that's exactly what their focus is. They want to give back to villages in Africa. They want to give back to the Orangutan Foundation and the Gorilla Foundation in Rwanda. And I think that's extremely dope. You know, I grew up watching Nat Geo and Planet Earth all day long. I didn't watch sports. I watched animals. And for me to be able to have a connection with animals and to see what Gorilla Gazing is doing as far as tokenizing that experience, it's beautiful, and I hope that they inspire other founders to do the same.
And I think for anybody here who is a novice and you're just starting off, I mean, maybe it's a big, big world that you're going to hear about today. So if there's one area of it that kind of interests you the most, like for me, it is that whole impact economy and how we can do impact investing with Web3. That's where I am most interested. Just figure out what interests you the most and just educate yourself there. So who are you polling for on Sunday?
I'm going to be honest, I don't watch sports, so I really don't know. So whoever y'all are voting for, I'm voting for. I'm just here for the good vibes and the good experience. You know, I'm thankful to be welcome, how I'm being welcome out here. Everybody's so nice and so just, it feel like I'm in Cali, you know? I feel like I'm at home.
Good, good, good. Well, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she loves Verstappen, so Red Bull all the way.
Well, we going with them then. Let's go.
And thank you for being with us. Thank you for passing the power. Thank you for sharing. Everybody here, you're passing the power by making the friends and making the connections, like he says. And we can't wait to have you back again. And this is going to wrap our chat. My podcast is called Pass the Power with Paige Parker. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. Please look it up, listen, subscribe, and have a fantastic F1. Be safe, be crazy, and have fun.
Everybody, give a round of applause for yourself for coming out tonight. Thank y'all. I really appreciate it.